When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax. Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. And that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It is the top of the week. We are hurtling headlong into February, and we're encountering some things that we think need more attention, because as you know, a lot of stuff is slipping by the mainstream national or international reporting spheres, simply because it's not because the journalists are trying to hide things all the time. It's because there's a ton of stuff happening. You know, we are offline. We have been keeping close eyes on Kazakhstan and the Ukraine. We know there's always something happening with the world of cryptocurrency, NFTs. We're going to also talk about some crimes, some explosions that haven't made more news yet in a very weird way. But first, maybe we could travel to the produce aisle. Just picture wherever you get produce. If you get it from a farmer's market, great for you. I don't have my life together to that point yet. But, you know, we eat our veggies here on Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. And I realized I never asked you guys this, but Matt, Noel, you remember when that kind of trope or meme about people our age being broke because they eat too many avocado sandwiches? You remember when that hit?
Avocado toast specifically, Ben, which is, I guess, yes, kind of an open face sandwich. But yeah. That's the wave of the hipster millennial future, apparently. And I don't know why it's expensive. You can, if you just get an avocado and a piece of bread, you can make your own avocado toast. But if you buy it at a fancy avocado toastatorium, then that's a pricey item.
I have very fond memories when I first began drinking alcohol of going to my local store and buying limes, all the limes, because you could use them in everything. And we don't have to talk about all the different kinds, but, oh, limes were the stuff back then.
So wait, you were more excited about purchasing limes than you were about purchasing the alcohol itself?
Yes, because the lime really just, it didn't matter what the alcohol was. The lime,
you knew it was getting the lime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then maybe you were buying the limes after you had had a few. So it's easy to get that, you know, slight buzz of excitement. You know,
yeah, it was one big cycle. You're right.
I picture you at the cashier, at the cashier's register going, you might be thinking this guy likes limes. You would be correct, ma'am.
I had a period where I shoplifted lots of limes. It was just, you know, just to feel alive.
There are
really?
No.
Just to feel. They called him the Lime Bandit, a legend in Augusta. Well, I like that we're segueing to crime here because despite the ridiculous
low-level crime,
right, despite the ridiculous, absurd nature of those bad faith claims that people our age and younger are experiencing wealth inequality because they're eating toast. I hope everybody can tell that is what Joe Biden would call malarkey. Despite those stories making the news, there are other stories that relate directly to produce, to avocados, to limes, and they're important and they spell trouble in the future. Here's what's happening. A lot of these things are produced in Latin America, in Mexico, avocados and limes in particular. And Mexico is famous for many, many, many things. It's the home of ancient Mesoamerican cultures and so on. But nowadays, it is also infamous for the role of drug cartels. Even if you've never seen narcos, even if you've never been on the border or seen drug-related, gang-related crime, you know that cartels in areas of Mexico are increasingly becoming like state-level actors. You know what I mean? To the point where law enforcement in the country will have some serious cost-benefit analysis before they go into certain regions. And the cartels are, in some cases, buying off the police force. But when you think of cartels, you're probably thinking like, you know, cocaine, maybe marijuana trade, even though there's not so much money in that as it's becoming increasingly decriminalized here in the U.S.
Or meth and heroin. I mean, it's all looped in there.
Meth especially, because it's so simple to make. But there's another hustle. The cartels have another hustle. They're in the avocado game. They're in the lime game. And this is so odd. So you may have heard about the avocado, like cartels getting into avocados for an extra income stream. But in certain parts of Mexico, drug cartel wars are also affecting the price of limes. So the young Matt Fredericks in the audience, go ahead and get your limes now. Don't panic. And don't drive inebriated, but do go get your limes, because these different cartels are taxing local lime producers. They're essentially treating it like a war tax, and they're fixing prices. And this is exacerbated by the global supply chain problems and, of course, by climate change, right? Current society is going to see a lot of arable land lost in your lifetime. But if you look at the price of limes, what you'll see is that lime prices have been on the rise for years, and they have some predictable spikes during the winter months, right? It's going to be a little more pricey to get your limes. I want to give a shout out to Emily Green, writing over at Vice World News. This is some of the best reporting I've seen of this in the U.S. A drug cartel war is making lime prices skyrocket in Mexico. So in just December of last year, well, last month, you know, as we record this, lime prices had shot up 90% over what they were in 2020. Right now, in Mexico City, limes are selling for the highest price they have ever sold, and the price is even higher in northern Mexico. And a lot of that is because the part of Mexico that grows the most wintertime limes or supplies those during the winter months, it's a state on the Pacific coast. And right now, the Jalisco New Generation Cartel, or CJING, and another bunch of local ne'er-do-wells called the United Cartels are beefing. And what organized crime is doing, and this is not a ding on you, Montreal, before you send the email, these cartels are doing something similar to what the maple syrup consortium does in North America. They're limiting the amount of limes that people can harvest to manipulate the price. And then once they've driven up the price, they're doing a calculation and they're going back to the farmers and they're saying, hey, because we limited production, the price of limes has gone up by X. And because we did that successfully, just so everyone is safe, you should donate percentage Y to our cause. And they've also like physically cut the number of days people can go on the farms and actually work. Like not 3 days anymore. It's only 2 days a week. And the scary thing is, if anybody bucks against these folks, cartels have no compunction about just brutally murdering people. You know, they don't have an HR.
God, that's scary. So it's the cartels themselves going through who are drug cartels, correct?
Yes.
These are drug cartels. Mm-hmm. And they are controlling the market for limes. That's insane.
You wouldn't expect it. It wasn't on the bingo card, as we used to say during the pandemic, right? And in some cases, the cartels are also buying up the packing plants. That's where the limes would be, you know, packaged. They would be branded as whatever, and then they would be shipped off around the world. And it is a quick way to make money because it's this local price fixing in a place that has serious corruption issues is a lot safer than trying to run drugs and guns over the border. So if you look at it, the sky's the limit. The limes the limit, man, because the higher the price of limes is for everybody, the more money these cartels will see very quickly. And there's a feedback loop being created, I would argue, because they're making quick money off limes, the avocados, and then other cartels are getting in the game and they're funneling that money into their wars with these other cartels, which means the other side is also going to start looking for even more funding, which means more lime producers are going to find themselves tragic bystanders in a very violent conflict. It reminds me of that old proverb. What was it? When elephants make war, it's the grass that suffers. Mm-hmm. These folks are the grass here.
It also makes me wonder what else is going on with other trades that occur, you know, in Mexico. I'm thinking about products like tequila and how much control is, you know, put on some of those like farmers who are actually like generating the plants that become tequila. And it also makes me wonder how much, you know, if you imagine packing companies and shipping out massive amounts of limes and avocados, you imagine, at least from my mind, from the TV shows and movies that I've watched, where getting drugs across a border often occurs within a legitimate shipping business, a company shipping products like, let's say, limes or avocados, and then there's weapons somewhere within that shipment as well, or drugs. I imagine that could be very helpful for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is Michoacán is the Pacific state in Mexico that we're talking about. They were also the epicenter of the green gold scandal. That's what the media was calling the deal with avocados and cartels. That state alone grows on average just under a million tons of avocados every year and 800,000 tons of limes. And just as you said, Matt, it's really difficult to figure out exactly how much money these groups are making off this. It's also difficult to figure out how much of that price spike that people see, you know, when you get to the grocery store, how much of that is a result of organized crime, how much of that is just, you know, the eternal gamble that is agriculture, and how much of that is COVID-related inflation and other shenanigans. It's weird because if you look at reports by the actual Mexican government, they do put organized crime down as a factor in these price spikes. Oh, they're also, by the way, if you don't play ball with them, they're destroying roads that lime producers need, so they're stranding them. The roads just got reopened, in fact, actually, the roads just got reopened this month, and no one knows how long that situation is going to continue. To sum this up, because I think this would be interesting for us to do a deep dive in an episode in the future, to sum this up, you're absolutely correct, Matt. There are other industries being affected. Limes and avocados get a lot of attention because Mexico produces so much of those agricultural products, but this is rent-seeking from industries, and often it doesn't matter exactly what that industry is. You could have an electronics manufacturer that has to pay protection money. You could have a fart jar manufacturer that has to pay protection money. So that's going to be another industry fast on the rise, as our fellow conspiracy realists have confirmed. So with that, I want to pause and ask people to let us know if you have any personal experience with this industry, limes, avocados, cartels, then we want to hear from you. We want to hear from the boots on the ground. So give us a call, 1-833-STDWYTK, or drop us a line, conspiracy@iheartradio.com. The very last thing I want to say is that I had another great story about corvids that are being trained to pick up litter. It's amazing, but I didn't want to just always talk about crows, because this is stuff they don't want you to know, not stuff they don't want you to crow. I yield my time. We're going to pause for a word from our sponsor, and we'll be back with more strange news.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah. Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
And we're back. And Ben, you can talk about corvids all you want and should. We don't even have to change the name of the show, because I sort of made a habit of late on this segment of talking about The stupidest thing on the internet, NFTs. I hope people aren't getting too tired of it. I think I've plugged one of my favorite YouTube channels, Internet Today, quite a bit. I quite often get turned on to interesting stories from those guys, and they even did a disclaimer when they did their most recent episode that they were not becoming the NFT show. There's just so many stupid and hilarious developments in the world of non-fungible tokens. So I doff my hat to those guys and also apologize, maybe, but I think it's going to be worth it. I think you guys are going to be on board. Because what better combination is there than combining a stupid internet grift with a bunch of trying to stay hip to the time celebrities kind of on their way out of being relevant. And the two of those celebrities in question today are none other than Ozzy Osbourne, the Prince of Darkness himself. One could argue the man doesn't need to stay relevant. He's done what he's going to do. He bit the head off that bat and bathed in Dove's blood on stage, whatever. And he made some fine records as well. Let's just give him credit where credit is due. Huh?
Yeah, well. Are we about to talk about crypto bats?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Crypto bats. I'm so excited. Yes, let's do it.
Okay. Maybe I'll just save it, the other celebrity. Because this is sort of an example of two of these celebrities kind of scrapping for internet relevance, handling something completely different. Handling this debacle. Let's just call it what it is, completely differently. So the NFT bats, as we know, NFTs are limited collections of basically JPEGs most of the time, or it can be animated GIFs, they can be little videos, they can be really whatever you want. You can mint anything that is a digital asset as an NFT, and the minting process essentially creates a record on the blockchain that says, this is my thingy, and nobody else has this exact thingy. But then, there's become this culture of people like right-click saving the other people's NFTs and presenting them as their own. The people that actually bought the NFTs don't really like that, but there's not much they can do about it. So it's almost like a troll, of these people that are like, ha-ha, see, I have it too. I just screenshotted it. Like, no, you don't really have it. That's my crypto bat. It looks like Skeletor or Lazy Lion or was it Bored Ape? Did you guys see that Jimmy Fallon apparently bought a Bored Ape for $250,000 and then showed it off on the Tonight Show? Which seems kind of weird.
I'm still stuck on Pete Davidson and Colin Jost and their buddy buying the Staten Island Ferry.
Yes.
Who is that guy we talked about?
Like an NFT of the Staten Island Ferry?
No, they bought the actual ferry.
I can get behind that. And honestly, they probably who knows? I don't know. Do you know how much they paid?
It's around $280,000, which seems, is a lot of money. But when you're getting a ginormous ferry, that feels kind of reasonable.
Right.
And it's already got a business purpose associated with it. It's the thing's going to make money, hopefully.
It's to ferry people, right? Presumably back and forth from
turning it into a venue.
Make it a floating. Instantly we've listed three use cases for this purchase that makes it somewhat meaningful to somebody eventually somewhere.
And you're trying to get back on track, Noel, but yeah. I'm watching Ozark because the fourth season 4.1 or whatever just came out. That was the whole point of money laundering for them, was buying a boat upon which they could have a casino.
I wouldn't say it was the whole point. That was just another way to launder money. It wasn't like they were like gunning for the whole gambling, riverboat casino. It just became another grift along the way, which is what this whole NFT thing is. Speaking of
cartels,
grifts,
should be in NFTs. Right.
Yeah, I completely. You know what? It is all kind of a cartel. And now Ozzy's in on it. So these crypto bats, these little guys that are, there's, I think, 9,666 devil horns I'm making over here of these little guys. Some of them are like headless. They're all different. They're cute. Honestly, of a lot of the NFTs I've seen, these are kind of cool because they have kind of an 8-bit look to them, which I dig. I think we all can get behind that, like kind of a Nintendo, side scroller kind of Castlevania type vibe. I see one here that looks like a Mogwai. There's one that's like Skeletor, like I said. There's one that's wearing a little suit. They're all the same exact shape, and they all have different color schemes and color, and looks and all that stuff. I think right now they're going for around 50 or 60 bucks a piece. But anyway, the whole point is this. Ozzy announced it, on his Twitter and on his social media, and I think with Sharon, along by his side. And a lot of these NFT launches, these drops, they are tracked, and kind of the communities that you know, kind of jump up around them use Discord to kind of talk about it. So there's all these Discord channels. I don't really quite understand what's so special about Discord, but I've used it, and I get why people kind of like it. It's a clean like interface or whatever, but I don't quite get what's so special about it. But I think maybe it's just become the kind of like, you know, nerd communication platform of choice. And that's what people are using for this. So what happens with Discord is you have like a unique URL that you can, you know, promote to your followers or whatever. And you can have like a Discord server. We should have a Discord server for like people listening to the show and do like live streams and things like that. So there's all kinds of uses. People obviously use it to play video games together as well, but they're also used to track these crypto NFT drops. And what happened was, apparently, I don't know exactly why, but the pre-sale, which is called a whitelist, the pre-sale for the CryptoBats NFTs opened on December 27th, and all this information was via Discord. 25 people who were there to sign up get guaranteed a CryptoBat. They get them 48 hours before the public minting process, which goes live in February. So that hasn't even happened yet. We're still talking about the pre-sale via that CryptoBats website. So this is kind of like a get in on the action before everybody else. So apparently, for some reason, they like changed the URL after launching the Discord. They, at some points, they changed the URL slightly. And really quickly, some internet scammers got wise to this and posted the incorrect, or actually what happens. So think about this. If someone changes their Twitter handle or like an Instagram handle, I don't know how long it takes, but somebody else can use it. That becomes available again. So I believe what happened was they co-opted the URL for the Discord server that was changed, and then posted all kinds of fake information there, literally like a dummy site. So all of these crypto things, they use Web 3.0. which allows you through the browser extensions to connect your crypto wallet directly to whatever you're messing with, like whatever, you know, there's a little button on all these sites that say connect wallet. And this site did something like that, but it was like a dummy site, or like a phishing kind of thing. Like think about like an internet equivalent of one of those devices you can put in like a ATM or a gas pump to like captures people's credit card information. Essentially, this is like a little more elaborate version than that. And essentially, they had it where it was like, it seemed legit. It's like, hey, before you enter into this amazing once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, we need to verify the crypto that's in your wallet. So go ahead and hook it up for us real quick, and we'll just take a look and make sure that you've got the funds that you say you do. And, you know, the thing that's weird about this is anybody that's experienced in this kind of stuff would know that that's really not right. But the guys, the internet today made this point as well, and I completely agree. The problem is that all of these celebrities getting into this NFT space are bringing in new people that are not seasoned crypto people, you know, and they're people that are like figuring this stuff out. And it's not uncomplicated. Like if you're someone who's, this is new to you, there are many, many points along the way where you can either mess up and like accidentally lose some funds or get scammed because you're not really quite used to what you're looking for, these red flags. So they didn't ultimately steal that much money. I think it was in the neighborhood of like $30,000 total. But the problem was that Ozzy and like people associated with his camp, they retweeted the bad link several times. And it wasn't until I think like The Verge or something reached out to them that they realized what they had done and changed it. And they actually didn't even take responsibility for it. The site, the CryptoBats, you know, partners, I guess. You know, this is obviously Ozzy partnering with the company. It's not like he's sitting at home, you know, punching in all of this stuff on his own computer. So the statement to The Verge from the company Sutter Systems that developed the CryptoBats, they said, although we feel very sorry for the people that have fallen prey to these scams, we cannot take responsibility for the actions of scammers exploiting Discord, a platform that we have absolutely no control over. The co-founder of Sutter Systems, his name is JPEGGI. J-E-P-E-G-G-I. Surely that's his Christian name. In our opinion, the situation and hundreds of others that have taken place across other projects in the NFT space could have easily been prevented if Discord had just had a better response support fraud team in place to help big projects like ours. So that's all that's I'm gonna just go back to my whole point. It's like, why Discord? And if you know enough about these weaknesses to make this statement so quickly, why not do something about it on the front end to protect your, you know, users and customer base or whatever? So I don't know. Pretty silly.
So in the end, it was the Discord link that caused the problems. Correct. Right?
Yeah, but also like they switched the links midstream for whatever reason. It initially used the URL discord.gg.cryptobats with a Z NFT. And then it was changed to discord.gg/cryptobats with no NFT at the end. So it's you know, I mean, it's their fault for changing it midstream, the developers. And like, if you were looking at both of those, like, I wouldn't have really clocked that they were that different. So it's and the fact that they had those bad links just like circulating for like a while. I think it's kind of silly, ridiculous that they wouldn't take responsibility for it.
I think I remember hearing that even Ozzy Osbourne had on his Twitter feed or some other social feed the bad URL.
Yes, that's right.
For quite a while.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
So that's, you know, it's unfortunate. Not a great look. I will say I do think these little crypto bats are a lot cuter than the stupid lazy lions and, bored apes of the world. I've got one other one that to me is kind of a quick, you know, positive story about this. Do you guys know who Richard Karn is?
I'm unsure.
Well, you know him. Remember? I don't think so.
He's a Home Improvement. He's the sidekick or the actor who plays the sidekick on Home Improvement. I believe you mentioned him on a recent Strange News or Listener Mail segment.
Oh, maybe
I did. I couldn't remember his name. Yeah.
Yeah, Richard Karn. Yes, that's right. He played Al, the lovable sidekick Al Borland on Home Improvement. He's made a real good go of it with that character. I mean, I think he did like a series of some kind of hardware store, you know, TV commercials where he basically played that character. If I'm not mistaken, he did Little Smokies, those little sausages, for quite a while. Big fan of Little Smokies, you know, for your backyard barbecue. But, you know, some of his, I guess, representation, which seems to be happening across the board for a lot of celebrities and companies, suggested that he get in on the NFT craze. And I'm not quite sure what his thing was even going to look like. But he apparently was set to launch one, and then a lot of people hit him up directly and said, "Don't do this, Al. Don't do this. You know, don't. We can't lose you to the dark side." And he decided to walk it back and made a very thoughtful post that, "I thought long and hard about NFTs and I decided it's not something I need to do." And then praying hands and heart emoji. So I just appreciated that. You know, there's never too late to think twice if something is in fact, you know, and just because someone tells you it's a good idea to jump into the latest craze doesn't necessarily mean that you should do it. Like Brian Eno, for example,
all to say, get excited about the upcoming stuff they want you to know, NFTs, right?
Totally.
Yes. They're coming. Get excited. Pre-order.
Thinking we can make play with cryptid something? Cryptid bats? No, they need to be more than just bats. We'll talk it through with our representation. But, you know, Brian Eno is one of my favorite record producers and just an incredible, smart, creative dude and futurist. He used a really great word that I'd never heard before. He very Britishly and slyly said that it's sweet that artists can have their own cute little version of financialization. And financialization is apparently a British kind of parlance, meaning a term sometimes used to describe the development of financial capitalism during the period from 1980 to the present, in which debt to equity ratios increased and financial services accounted for an increasing share of national income relative to other sectors.
Sounds like arbitrary wordization, if you ask me.
I don't disagree.
Whimsical term. Very Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah.
So keep in mind the stuff they don't want you to know. Badger NFTs coming sometime in 2022.
Badger bags.
Accepted only in Ben Bucks. So get in on the ground floor today.
Yep. Which is a brand new coin, which will be introduced in the year after the NFTs, which are only.
Or you can pay with avocado or lime NFTs.
Perfect.
As long as they're produced by someone who is not a drug cartel.
Now, Matt, I really appreciated your story and your personal share there about your lime period. But I got to say, a lime is a lot cheaper than an avocado.
Sometimes. It depends on the market.
It depends on the state, too, here in the U.S.
That's a good point.
You know,
and you're right. Limes do sometimes are out of season. There are periods where you, like, can't find limes. So they are a little, there's a scarcity to those as well, kind of like NFTs. They're like the NFTs of the fruit kingdom.
Just like it.
There is such a thing as the fruit kingdom. I didn't just make that up entirely.
I have a book about that on my phone.
You have a book on your phone?
I read with my son. Yep.
Oh, man. Well, the future's weird, guys. let's take a beat to consider our place in the universe, and then we'll be back with another piece of strange news.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot of pros to drinking health-aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health-Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah. Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
All right, we're back, and we are heading to Sacramento, California for our next story. This comes to us via the local ABC, Fox, and NBC affiliates there, as well as the Facebook page of the Sacramento Police Department. It's a story that's been developing for over a week now at this point. I first heard about it, I want to say last week, around the 23rd of January. That is when there was a strange story that came out, just very, very localized, came out of Sacramento, that stated possible vehicle explosion in an unoccupied vehicle that was parked in a neighborhood in Sacramento, California. And it was just strange. It was weird. It was a little blip on the radar, right? We look for these strange news segments every week, and we see all kinds of weird little stuff, and it just pops on our radar. And that's what this was in this case. It was very strange. Let me just read to you from the Sacramento Police Department's Facebook page what they said about it. Quote, on Sunday, January 23rd at approximately 9:46 p.m., Sacramento Police Department patrol officers responded in this area regarding a possible explosion. The officers located an unoccupied vehicle with significant damage consistent with an explosion occurring inside the vehicle. What? That's weird. An unoccupied vehicle that exploded from the inside. Okay, that's a bit puzzling just at the start, right? Mm-hmm. Unless there was like a window open or something that an explosive could be dropped in to an unoccupied vehicle, or unless the person who, you know, owned the vehicle set off an explosive inside of it. Or there could also be a scenario where it was, you know, someone opened the door through force or something and then placed an explosive. Just very strange. But police department looked into that and nothing really happened until on January 28th, another unoccupied vehicle exploded. And they were called out, and they say it on their Facebook post here as well. Just very strange. They conducted an extensive investigation, and they were able to determine there were no injuries. And they believe it was a homemade explosive device that was used to detonate both of those vehicles in Sacramento. So, guys, when you're just in your neighborhood or hanging out in your wherever you live, and you hear a little pop or a fairly large explosion, would you ever think that it could be a vehicle exploding?
Yeah, only because I've seen it happen.
You have? Mm-hmm. Like from malfunction, overheating, or something like that? Or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, from poor vehicle maintenance. Nothing like, no like Grand Theft Auto RPG launch or anything. But yeah, so not due to criminal activities, but definitely... I just kind of assume everybody's seen an explosion like that. Like even the remnants when you're in traffic or something.
No.
No. Wow. Maybe I need to move to your neighborhood. Everybody.
No. There's gang activity all over on that side. And then an airport on that side. No, it's terrible. There's loud pops all the time and airplanes. Don't move here. Okay.
We should also point out this has got to be common in other cities, but there's the famous unofficial ongoing game in Atlanta called fireworks or gunshots, right? That's just a related thing when you're asking. But for many people, the thing is, you don't have to be a ballistics expert or a fireworks expert to understand the difference between the sound of a gunshot and the sound of an explosion. Explosions sound very different, right? So what was the, do we know like the magnitude of these explosions?
I don't know that I've got officially the magnitude. There were enough to explode the vehicle where when the police officers arrived on the scene, they could tell that both vehicles had had an interior explosion where there are pieces of the vehicle, you know, all over on the ground, and there are witnesses who heard or experienced the explosion. Quote, both cars were severely damaged. And the crazy thing at the time in that particular neighborhood in Sacramento where this occurred, both explosions were less than 0.4 miles away. So this was a localized thing. So if you're living in that neighborhood, you're thinking, oh, Lord, either our vehicles are just deciding to self-explode or somebody is doing this. Mm-hmm. And it turns out only a few days later, somebody was doing this, at least according to the Sacramento Police Department and their findings. And this is the Oak Park area of Sacramento. They recently, as of today,
yes,
that we're recording this on January 31st, they arrested a 23-year-old man mm-hmm. on felony charges linked to both of these explosions. This man... I'm going to name him. He was named in ABC News.
And CNN and the department.
And, yes. Yeah. As well as the Fox website and the other places that I looked at. They're naming him as Cody Wiggs. And he was being held, at least as of this recording, he's being held without bail in Sacramento County Jail. And it's just very strange. I don't know. This guy was just setting off pipe bombs. They were pipe bombs that he... generated, that he created, and was setting them mm-hmm. off in unoccupied vehicles. And it doesn't appear that there's any rhyme or reason, at least not based on the writing that I've seen on the investigation, unless there's, you know, something that they haven't mentioned yet in the news as of this moment.
Yeah. So this sounds like it could be an episode of Law and Order. As a matter of fact, I feel like I've seen an episode of Law and Order about people bombing these vehicles, but it's so much trouble to go through to make a pipe bomb, to stay off the radar, to not get caught planting them, to get away with two. It seems like the police know that the guy was planning to do more, right? He was still building pipe bombs actively, but because it's so much trouble, it's not an impulsive thing, right? There is usually some sort of rhyme or reason, unless the person is one of those arsonists who is just like fundamentally psychologically bound to create explosions on some primal cognitive level.
Yeah, we don't know much about this Cody Wicks person. We do know that he was carrying a concealed dirk or dagger and faces misdemeanor charges on that.
What's the difference between a dirk and a dagger, Matt? As a fantasy fiction dragon dungeon enthusiast, can you explain this to us?
Well, now this is tough for me. I'm not going to give you the, you know, I'm sure you can look up. A dirk, in my mind, is very much a stabby thing.
Yeah.
It's to be stabbed. It's a dagger, I would.
It's a kind of dagger, right? Like a maze is a kind of puzzle. A dirk sounds like, for some reason, I think a lot of people think of like a spear or something like that. But a dirk is like originally from Scotland. So it's a kind of dagger from there.
Yeah. It appears to be, Dr. Internet tells me that it appears to involve a sheath most of the time. It has a guard on it, you know, so it is almost like a miniature sword, whereas a dagger can be more utilitarian probably. Although I always think of dagger as stabby as well, but it can also be slicey.
Again, yeah, I like think of a dagger is a term, just like puzzle is a term, and a maze is a sort of puzzle, just the same way that a dirk is a type of dagger.
That's so great. See, it's so funny. In my mind, it goes back to Ultima Online. Ooh. And in Ultima Online, there are two different... I'm just going to say this because it's what my mind is doing, and I apologize to everyone listening. But there are two different skills that you can learn. One is piercing, where it's like stabby things. And the other is slashing, which is like swordy things. Mm-hmm. And that's what I imagine. Dirk is more stabby, dagger more slashy.
You know, I found something interesting about Cody Wiggs. It looks like he was arrested in 2017 as well, when he was just 18, along with a guy named Jesus Enrique. They found a loaded firearm and drugs, meth, in Wiggs's possession. And then his pal Enriquez also had some sort of narcotics. So this guy is familiar with the law enforcement system, or I should say they're familiar with him. This is not his first time out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now, Matt, honestly, I have to maybe reassess my initial take when I said this is a lot of planning. People usually have motivations in play, whether they're, you know, like ideological or financial, what have you. But when meth enters this scenario, we don't know what those motivations could be, because meth does such crazy things to the mind.
Yeah, it just depends on if they're users or if they're trying to traffic it in some way, or both. Anyway, this is just a weird story, and I feel terrible for anybody living in that neighborhood that had to go through two seemingly random vehicle explosions. Mm-hmm. That's not a fun thing to go through. I hope that doesn't happen again. If you hear anything more about this story, we'd love to hear from you, or maybe you're in the neighborhood, you got some more information, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you've got more information on celebrity NFTs, I mean, we're always down to hear about that. Or maybe cartel activities with the produce in your area.
Yeah.
You can contact us in a number of different ways.
Yeah. Tell us what other industries are getting leaned on by the cartels. Tell us what news about the cartels is not making Western media, because there is a lot there that's still kind of hidden in the shadows of discourse. As Matt said, there are many ways to speak with us. You don't just have to have a Ouija board, but you can give that a go if you want. You could also, if you're not prone to trying supernatural methods of contact via a mass marketed board game, you can contact us online, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, maybe a Discord. We talked about that in the past, but we've got some new exciting developments that may allow us to actually have a Discord. But until that day, here's where it gets crazy on Facebook. You can see Conspiracy Stuff Show on Instagram, and you can see Conspiracy Stuff on Twitter. You can also find us under our individual handles, not just as a show, but as people. I am at Ben Bolin, B-O-W-L-I-N, on Instagram. Get a sneak peek at upcoming research and misadventures, or at Ben Bolin, HSW, on Twitter. How about you, Noel?
You can find me on Instagram pretty much exclusively, where I am at How Now Noel Brown.
And you can find me at Instagram at Crypto Bats NFT for Reels 69.
And that's with three X's at the end, right? But they're silent.
Well, it's within six, within the word
that's
six.
That's where it is. Okay.
X's.
Okay. Well, who is that guy I've been talking to?
Do they alternate
to?
Upper and lower case?
Okay, well, I'm talking to a different person, but don't make my mistake, folks. And if you don't like social media, if you abhor it, don't trust it, if you're against it, as they would say in the South, then never fear. There are several other ways you can contact us.
Yes, give us a call. Our number is 1-833-STDWYTK. Again, 1-833-STDWYTK. When you call, please give yourself a cool nickname. Amuse yourself, amuse us, however you want to play that. That's fine. It helps us to keep that level of anonymity. You've got 3 minutes. Say whatever you'd like. Please let us know if we can use your message on air and if we can use your voice within that 3 minutes. Tell us. That is very, very important. Please do that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you've got more to say, maybe some links, some stories, some bigger stuff you want to share that won't fit in that 3 minutes, instead consider sending us a good old-fashioned email. We are
conspiracy@iheartradio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.